For that smile from the Lord, that He's satisfied with your life. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Play some more of that singing second verse for me again. I'm satisfied with this great redemption plan.
Hallelujah.
I'm satisfied, it's sufficient for all men. I'm so satisfied with His work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied? Fight with me.
Well, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be.
And when I come to that great eternity,
have a praise if you love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight.
I want to remember Brother Eugene Kennedy in prayer. He has had a very bad day, so let's certainly pray for Brother Eugene that the Lord would just give him strength. Sister Eastep wants to thank the church for the prayers, the beautiful fruit basket. She appreciates that so much. She wants to say thanks. Sister Anna Shipley's daughter, Betty, passed away yesterday. Sister Anna has been really in shock and her blood pressure has been very high. Please pray for her and all her family. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. The Lord would just comfort their hearts. Please remember Sister Phyllis Phillips had a lot of pain in her neck and her shoulders. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. The Lord would be mindful. Brother and Sister Baker says they want to thank the Lord for His healing power. Sister Baker is here tonight, able to be in the service. We also want to thank everyone for your prayers, food, cards. Everyone is so great. Thank you so much. Most of all, thanks to the Lord. So we appreciate that testimony, don't we? Yeah. Sister Simone Phillips says, please remember Boaz, my parents, my brother and sister's families, that God would protect them and their belongings from the fires. These are not the Fort Mac fires. These are the Fort St. John. And that's where they're taking place now. They are on evacuation alert. These places need rain. Please pray. May God bless you. So you all know about the fires in Canada, the destruction that's been done there. So let's just pray that God's able to give them rain, isn't He? Let's just pray that the Lord would intervene on their behalf. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, we certainly want to remember you and just commit all these things unto the Lord. Could we stand to our feet tonight? Let's just sing a little chorus before we pray tonight. Let's give Him a little bit of thanks. He's worthy of all of our praise, isn't He? Do you believe you're serving a prayer-answering God? Is He the best thing that ever got a hold of your life? Life without Christ is not a life. Really, it's not a life. People think they're living, but without Christ, you're not living. He is the answer for all of our lives. Do you believe that with all your heart? And there's a song that says that Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. I believe that tonight, don't you? Amen. Amen. Brother John Horniak, I want you to get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer. But let's sing this little chorus. Let's give Him some thanks tonight, if you will. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Sing it now. We want to say thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
I give you
we
thanks.
We give you thanks.
Oh, oh,
oh,
you've done.
The good things you've done.
I am so blessed. My soul has found rest.
We've got our right minds to give Him thanks. The world's gone crazy, but we've got our right minds to give Him thanks. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it amazes me, Lord Jesus, how great You are. Day by day, Lord, it's not that you've touched me once, Lord, and that would have been enough. But daily, Lord Jesus, You come on the scene in our lives, Lord. If we would just take the time, Father God, and see how much you've done. Oh God, how great you are. How marvelous you are, Lord Jesus. How easy it is to praise you. How easy it is to say thank you, Lord. Oh, Father God, we bring these requests, Lord Jesus, not because we're poor, beaten down children, Lord, but because we can say thanks over and over and over again, Lord. And this is just another opportunity, Lord. These requests are just more opportunity to say thank you, Lord, because you love us and you want to do things for us. Oh, God, how great you are. How I worship you, Lord Jesus. Your presence, Lord Jesus, is so overwhelming in our lives, Lord. We just want to say thanks, Lord, over and over again. Oh, Father, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you come down in this little church, Lord Jesus, and you bless us time and time again, Lord. And not only do you touch us with our feelings, Lord Jesus, but you touch our hearts with your word, Father. You've given us so much word, Lord Jesus. We're so blessed. It's so easy to say thank you for the word. Oh, Father God, it's so easy to see what you're doing in our lives, Lord. We are the most blessed people that ever walked the earth, Father God. And you're making it more and more real to us, Father. How we love you, Lord Jesus. How we thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, these requests, Lord, as we say, we make mention of them, Father God, because you said, Lord, that you wanted to hear us, Lord. You said, knock, and I will answer, Lord. We're knocking on your door, and we're laying them at your feet, Father God. They're in your hands. We give them to you, Lord. We pray that your will would be done, Father. We know, Father, that you have our best interest in mind, Lord. Whatever we have need of, Father God, even in these requests, Lord, sometimes, Lord Jesus, you just want us to ask. Just so we know, Father, where our strength comes from, where our hope comes from, where our peace comes from, Father God. We're asking for these things, Lord Jesus, so we know where our healer is, Lord. Oh, we know where our peace giver is, Father. We pray that you just anoint it, Father God. Go with each one of the requests, Father. And we ask, Father God, that you would just continue to bless this service, Father. We're looking forward to worshiping you. We're looking forward to the word, Lord, and we're looking forward to worshiping after the word, Lord. And not only when we're in this building, Lord, but when we walk from this building, we still want to be praising you, Father. We love you, Lord. We ask that you just be with us now. We ask it in your precious name. Amen and amen.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time. We'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brad, good to see you back in Johnson City. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here with us tonight. A lot of graduations, I guess, maybe took place today and be taking place in the next week or two. We certainly want to thank the Lord for our graduates and just pray for them. They're getting ready to really see what the real world's all about. So let's just pray for them that God will just give them strength and be with them. And may their path be set toward heaven. May their path be set toward the Lord. That's the most important thing in the world. Are you glad you're in church tonight? Are you glad you love the Lord with all your heart? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Let's sing this little song tonight. It's an old song, been sung for years and years, but let's sing it tonight. Just before we sing it, let me make this announcement. Out in the lobby, as you know, there's the coat rack, the shelving. They're asking that all those things would be discarded. If they belong to you, get them tonight or in the morning. That needs to be cleaned up. I don't know what's there. I don't know who it belongs to, but if it's yours, please get it tonight or in the morning. They're going to be done away with in the next few days. So this is your opportunity to get what's yours. If you see something that's not yours, don't take it. But encourage those that it belongs to take it. Will you do that for us? They really need your help. They're going to do some cleaning, and they're just asking that you would, if you've got items on the shelf in a coat rack, please take those things with you. Let's sing. When the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Oh, when the storms of life are raging,
stand by me. Upon the sea,
Thou who rulest wind and water,
stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation,
oh, stand by me. Please stand by me. Stand by me when the host of hell assails,
and my strength begins to fail. Thou who's never lost a battle,
stand by me.
Oh, sing it to him, church. My faults and failures,
oh, stand by me, stand by me.
Oh, in the midst of my faults and my failures,
stand by me. When I do the best I can,
they misunderstand. Thou who knowest all about me,
stand by me.
Holy. Now in the midst of persecution,
Lord, stand by me. I need you to stand by me. Stand by me.
Hallelujah.
When my foes in battle array,
oh, they undertake
to stop my way.
Thou who saved Paul and Silas,
stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble,
Sister Rebecca,
stand by me.
Glory.
Oh, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Hallelujah.
When my life becomes a burden,
Jordan. one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Brother Justin, you can be seated. Brother Justin Reagan, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing after our sisters. Give them a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for you.
Face to face. already emotional enough as it is, and they made me cry. I'm thankful for a promise. I'm thankful to be elect and be different. This song, I'm probably going to cry. This has been a day. My greatest goal in life when it came to education, my mom told me, you're going to go to college. And you're going to graduate. And today I walked across that stage and I'm so thankful I can't even hardly put it into words. He sheltered me, and there's been many test questions I've looked down and I said, Lord, I can't answer it without you. And he let me get through, and I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful for all the prayers I got from each and every one of you, and I hope this song blesses you. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and I often slip. I'm just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, a look of love was on his face. Head, blood was on that scarlet robe, and it was stained and crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me.
It's the Lord. You believe that with all your heart? Let me bring it down a little closer. If you was the only mortal on the earth, would he have done it for you? There'd been nobody else. You was the only one lost. Would he have done it for you? You think he loved you that much? If you don't, more likely you won't be in the rapture. You got to know you're the only one. You got to know for yourself. You hope your wife's going. You really hope I'm going. Your daughters, your sons, everybody around you. But you got to know that you know that you know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. I believe salvation can be that real. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. God bless you. Good to see you tonight. Luke chapter 15, verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now, what kind of attitude is that? He was angry and would not go in. So he is going to boycott this Holy Ghost meeting. Praise the Lord. He's boycotting it. He ain't going in. No, sir. Absolutely not. He don't approve of it. He ain't going in. And he don't mind who asks him about it. He'll tell them. He's boycotting it. The boycott against the elect. Mm-hmm. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You see, this proves again, this is a true father. Now he's entreating for the other prodigal son. You see, this one's body was at home, but his heart wasn't. Listen to me now. The prodigal son was more lovable than this guy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus. Of all the words you could have spoken when you were here, all the stories you could have told us about creation, the universe, the stars, the laws of gravity, the laws of the sun, of the moon, of the tides, of gravitation, of things that scientists don't even understand one inkling of today, you could have uttered. And yet, you told us this story. It must have had such profound meaning that you would take your time to tell us such a story. I pray that you would tonight come once again. You who first told this story, may you come in our midst again and make this story, which has been preached for 2,000 years now, make it real once again tonight, Lord. Father, we ask that you would minister to the needs of your people, visible and invisible. Lord, I pray for my friend tonight, Brother Robert Marrero, laying there in the hospital, Lord, and having to go in last night because of terrible back pain. I'm asking you, Father, that you just move for my brother, that you would help him, Lord Jesus. He needs your touch. So many others around the world of your people Be mindful of the needs of your children, Father, we ask. Speak to us tonight, Lord, as we once again pull our feet, as it were, up under the table of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, this story, in order for it to truly be fully effective today, the principal players of this story must still be here, or this story itself loses some of its power and its emphatic emphasis. Do you believe the prodigal son is still here, as far as spiritually? You should. That was you. That was me. Well, you believe the father is still here. So the prodigal is here, and the father is here. The servants, which would have been ministers, of course, to help redress this prodigal boy, you believe they're still here. Well, what about this older brother? Now, when Jesus tells us, remember, this is in response to the scribes and the Pharisees, which were picking at Jesus for fellowshipping and eating with sinners and being around sinners. And Jesus told this story. Now, there, no doubt, an emphasis part of it was for those men of that day. But that couldn't have been all the emphasis, or the story would have had to cease to be told after the last Pharisee died. Unless, of course, the elder brother's significance is still alive today. Now, if it is, who is it? If the prodigal is here, the father is here, the servants are here, then the elder brother must be here somewhere. Now, it will not be, of course, naturally, as it was with the scribes when Jesus would have mentioned it to them and the Pharisees, but he had a way of telling a story that would have a significance at that time frame when he was saying it. And yet the same story could have been told in every age thereafter and still been significant, just as significant as it was when it was told initially. Only he could tell such a story in such a way. So that it would be current events 2,000 years being told thereafter. Now, it can be told right here tonight and have the exact same significance as it had whenever he was here and told him himself 2,000 years ago. So if the players of the parable are still active and well, and we believe they would have to be, then the importance of seeing the elder brother, as we've already looked at him a little bit, to see that he himself, in type, must also be alive right here tonight. May I say, probably right here in this building. May I say, probably right here in this body. May I say, I'm probably looking at him. May I say, I got him ready for church tonight. Can I bring him on down now? Now, you see, whenever we place this guy as a scribe or a Pharisee or place him out of touch beyond ourselves, it's much easier to say amen to that. But when we go to bringing this man on down to being the brother of a seed of God, you see, the economy of God has always been surrounded by this brother syndrome. It's always been the parallel of the brothers that has affected the economy of God. And for the most part, it's been the older brother that has caused the most problems. Now, the older brother now is very religious. He's very religious, as it is so with the natural man. Now, I want you to listen to these things carefully, and don't bother me if you don't say amen, if you want to listen for a little bit. The natural man, by his tendency, even after the fall, will tend to be religious. It's amazing to me how many people, when they go to getting drunk, or go to talking about God, or you get around them and they find out you're a preacher, or they find out, you know, you're religious, and it's amazing. I sat this last fall in Illinois, and I had already tagged out my hunting, and I was in this lodge, so I was sitting upstairs studying, and there was another man and his son also had tagged out, and they'd had their pictures made that morning with me when I'd had mine made with my deer, and they was up and down the steps, up and down the steps, and I noticed them every time they'd come up and down. They was going to their room, and they was going there for a certain purpose, and that was to get beer. So they were allowed to drink it there in the lodge where we were staying. So I don't know how many trips that they made up and down, him and his son both. And on one of the trips, he asked me, he said, well, what do you do? So I thought, oh boy, here we go. I said, I'm a preacher. Oh, he said, praise God, we go to church too. He said, as a matter of fact, my deacon, my son that was with me this morning there, he said he's a deacon at the church. Well, I noticed them the night before as they sat at the table and they were fixing to eat that they had bowed their heads and prayed over their food. Now, maybe I'm strange. I do that over Pepsi. I do that over, you know, sweet tea or water or whatever more, but it just seems unusual to me to see somebody pray over a beer or pray over a glass of wine. Praise the Lord. And I thought, how strange then. And then I found it so amazing that all of a sudden this guy goes to getting so religious with me once he found out that I was a preacher. And I mean, drinking, and they cussed like all the rest of the hunters that was there, and drunk like all the rest of them, and acted like all the rest of them, except from that time on, he acted a little bit different around me. Now, I thought, you know, it's an amazing thing how that people who are religious, not necessarily saved, but are religious, and when they find out that they think you're religious. He didn't know that I wasn't religious, I was saved. Amen. And there is a world of difference. Now, the older brother had this type of makeup about him that he was a very religious type of individual. Very religious. Now, he loved God, he loved his father, and he loved many aspects about right, and he hated things that were wrong. But all of it was from a total perspective of viewing it in a very religious way. Now, let's look at this just a little bit about being religious. Brother Bram just had a way of saying these things. He said, religious is a covering. I want you to notice he doesn't say in this one that religion is a covering, but religious is a covering. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they found out they were naked, they made themselves a religion. Find out just as soon as Adam found out he was separated from God, and instead of trying to find God, he tried to hide from God. That's the nature of man today. It's still his nature. Instead of coming down, confessing, saying, I've been a church member for 10 years, I know nothing about God, he tried to hide behind the name of a church. Now notice, so then it was Adam, and whenever he put on these fig leaves, then the prophet identifies that as a religion. So instead of him coming out and confessing to God, he comes out veiled in this religious attitude. Notice again he says, don't you see how religious the devil is? The devil's no great big thing like communism, all against Christianity. That's just all of the devil, sure. But that's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is very religious. Very religious. It was a religious spirit that crucified Jesus. It's always been a religious world, a religious people that crucifies. It's the religious people that was against the true Christ. It was the religious prophets that was against Micaiah. It's the religious people of the day that's against the message of God. Now, I want you to notice many of these folks that have pulled away from the message, they are more religious now than they ever was when they sat in message churches. As a matter of fact, many of them read their Bible and pray more and talk about God more than they did when they're sitting under a message church, and they think they're closer to God. They don't realize they took on a religious spirit. Now, the prophet said a religious spirit is 7 times worse than any demon. Now, maybe many of you have never cast out devils before, but I've cast out devils before, and I don't mind telling you, there are some that are very, very hard to deal with. And you talk about an epilepsy devil, you talking about a lust devil, you talking about all kinds of devils that there are in the world. And yet, a religious spirit is 7 times worse than any other devil. Now, when you look at that and study it, you can see why. It will leave them in their sin, but it makes them talk about God, even go to church, do religious things, and convinces them that they love God with all of their heart, and that's why it's nearly impossible to ever deal with them. Now, what's this? He says the religious people of the day, that's against the message of God. So look at all these religious people and how they blast the prophet and the message of that. What is it? It's all religious. Jesus, what's thou, the maniac of Gadara. Jesus walked in and here he was out there. Now, we're talking about the man at the tombs. The man that cut himself. The man that gashed himself. The man that was chained up with chains. But watch him. He was cutting himself, wringing himself, and carrying on. Jesus seeing he was in that condition. And as soon as Jesus started walking up to him, the man wanted to be very religious. That's the way the devil does. Now, can you imagine this man being so far away from anything you'd think that would be like God, but yet when the Lord Jesus comes around, this man gets so religious. Now, where did he get that? The man himself was not even sane. But because he was so possessed with demons, then these demons begin to talk about religion. Look at the woman at the well. When the Lord Jesus begins to talk to her, and she found out that she wasn't looking for a woman for a date, then what did she do? She got all religious on him just like that. Well, praise the Lord. Notice he said the devil is as religious as he can be. Mama. Smart, scholarly, polished, but yet know no more about God than a rabbit but know about snowshoes, which is absolutely zero. You ever seen a rabbit with snowshoes on? You ever seen a rabbit skiing? You ever seen a rabbit on the top of a snowmobile or none of that? You ain't going to neither. Because why? He don't know nothing about it. And neither does the devil. Neither does religious spirit. But yet they talk as if they know so much. And here he comes up, walks right up and falls right down and worships Jesus. This maniac did. Well, you say, would that be the devil? Why, Judas even come and kissed him and betrayed him by a kiss. Religious spirits, certainly they are. Now, I know this is very difficult, but this is where the Antichrist lays. But notice, this is also the answering to the elder brother, because the elder brother is that religious type of thing. Now, he's not converted. He's not born again, but yet he can be so very religious. He loves to talk about God. He can cry. He can even feel things on him. He can feel the spirit on him. But yet he'll always come back to his ways and his ideology and his doctrine. Notice again the prophet said, now Cain worshipped all of his carnal works just like the carnal church today. They go to church, they worship. Cain worshipped. He wasn't an infidel. He wasn't a communist. Cain was a believer. Well, praise the Lord. Cain was a believer. He went to God. He built an altar. He done every religious thing that Abel done, but he didn't have the spiritual revelation of the will of God. Again, he says the spiritual man has a spiritual soul that can never die. And the carnal man has a religious atmosphere around him. And he wants to worship and so forth, but he's carnal. Not an unbeliever, but a carnal believer. Now keep in mind now that the younger brother, the carnal believer, the brother, is actually brought on the scene after the conversion of the seed gene, the younger brother. That's when the emphasis of this religious attitude about the older brother comes on display. It's once the seed has been born by the breath of God, then this other part kicks in and is so religious. Oh my. And it says work, 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 and pray, 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 and read the Bible and do this and that and the other. But yet he absolutely hates the spiritual aspect of himself. Now this seems peculiar, I know. But he hates the spiritual genetics of God because he had absolutely nothing to do with this young boy coming back to the father. Now, had it been the elder brother that would have went out and held a campaign, and the elder brother would have witnessed to him, or the elder brother would have helped him make up his mind, or the elder brother would have had something to do in it, then he might not have struggled near as bad. But since it was not his choice, it was the choice of the election by God, then you know, it just kind of put the flesh in frustration. So it has a problem with so much grace. Oh my, boy, you folks are quiet on me. Now watch, again, this in oneness of unity. Nature put a spirit in there that makes you love the things of the world. And you know you are wrong when you do that, whether you're a church member. You may be just as religious as you can be and just as full of the devil with it. Now you can imagine now that you can be religious. A woman can wear long dresses, long hair. A man can look the part of a believer and be just as religious and talk about the thunders and the seals and this and that and the other and be full of the devil. Where at? In their soul. And yet be religious on the outside. Oh, thank God. Somebody tell me. Preach, Brother Donnie. God has a way, but man don't want to come to it. Man said, look, now I'm as good as you are. I go to church. I pay my dues at the church. And he wants to be religious. And that's all right. But he's religious. But you see, the nature of the earthly man is religious. Now, we would think, well, now, wait a minute. No, the nature of the earthly man is cussing and drinking. No, no, no. That's not the nature of the earthly man. That's not what Adam done in the very beginning. Adam in the very beginning, that nature that come to him after the image of God left him, whatever it was that he had, he lost, and Adam was made perfect in the similitude of God's image of that day. But whatever perfection that he had could not lead unto glorification. He could fall from where he was. But the image of God that has been restored in us by the new birth, it will not lead to failure. It will not lead to shortcoming. It will lead us to glorification. Is that right? It will lead us to glorification. It will not fall short of the glory of God. Amen. Because it is the perfect image which cannot fall. Now, then man picks up this religious thing about him. And this is why it's been down through all the ages. No matter how bad people get, and we know how it is in our own nation, no matter who we vote in as president, every one of them is religious. And you know, we're fixing to have a big presidential deal, and look on both sides, ain't neither one of them worth voting for. Whoever thought that our country would ever get so low down that either of our presidential candidates, we wouldn't even vote for him to be mayor. You're just some while back. It ain't been that long back, neither one of them. Brother Donnie, what are you, Democrat or Republican? I ain't neither one. I'm a Christian. That's why I can blast both sides. That's right. My party is Jesus. Come on, saints. Well, Brother Donnie, you're a Hillary man, not Harley. Well, Brother Donnie, you're a Trump man. No, I'm more of a trumpet man than I am a Trump man. I'm waiting for the Trump, all right, the Trump of God, not Donald. That's exactly right. But yet you think how far our nation has fallen, that people like this, we got one that's a rich lying billionaire, we've got another that's nothing but a pathological liar, and yet both of them have got to the place so where the American people put them there, and the American people is going to choose one of these people to rule our nation, and they're the ones that's going to have the say-so over all of our nuclear armaments, and they're going to have the say-so, oh Lord Jesus, come quickly. Before November the 11th, preferably. Oh my, nothing. But yet what does it do? Because the religious right, or because the conservatives must know where a person stands. It will always bring out in the time of elections, whether it's senator or whether it is Congress or whatever more, and they must identify with being religious. Why? Because this nation is not symbolized under communism. She is symbolized under the two horns, freedom of religion. This is her symbol, and there she must stand, and there she will come against the elect of God. Why? Because she is a religious nation, not a saved nation. Come on, children. She is not a saved nation. She is a religious nation. And you can be religious and as lost as you can be. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch, Brother Bam says, you see, the nature of the earthly man is religious. Cain was religious. Satan is religious. Religion isn't what saves you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves you. Again, he said, these two boys, if we notice their nature, one of them was a spiritual man, and that was Jacob, and the carnal man was Esau. But they were both religious. At the same thing took place on down through the age, the carnal and the spiritual. Esau represented the man of the earth. Natural, religious inclined, but never able. It wasn't in him to do it. He couldn't do it. Never was in him to be able to compass the things of the world, the carnal things. But Jacob, it was just so easy for him to do it. You say, what has that got to do with us? Absolutely everything. Is there a part of you that struggles in obeying the word? Is there a part of you that struggles in being victorious? Is there a part of you that's easy to be a Christian? No problem in turning the other cheek, doing this, that, and other. But the problem is you got to turn the cheek of the one who don't want his cheek hit. You see, if my soul had a cheek, it eliminated a lot of my problems. But my soul don't have a cheek. The only cheek my soul's got is this mortal body that I'm living in. And this elder brother don't like his cheek smacked. So he tries to talk the younger brother out of all this whole stuff of believing the word. You can be religious and go to heaven, but you don't have to be a religious fanatic. You just don't have to go overboard with all these things. Look for a balance. I always get scared when folks go to talking about looking for a balance about some of this stuff, because you realize they're talking about compromise. Praise the Lord. So there is a part of us that finds it so easy in doing and keeping and obeying the word of God. And then there is another part of us that, you know what, I don't care how much you discipline yourself and you overcome something, and that thing you think, my goodness, it'll never bother me again. It'll never bother me. No, sir. It's just something. I mean, I've got the victory over it. And tomorrow it shows up. And you're thinking, where did you come from? You're not supposed to bother me. You're out of here. I run you off last week. How come it bothers you? Your older brother invited him back. Now this is the struggle. The war has always been, of course, since the twins were introduced. This is your twin, my friend. This is the part of you that is not converted. You bring it to church, you make it obey the word, and should we not discipline ourselves? Absolutely right. But does that mean ourselves enjoy it? Of course. course not. Does that mean that it will come methodical in us by nature? No. If you did not discipline your flesh to the Word of God, I'll tell you what your flesh would do. It would do what mine would do and everybody else's would do. It would go right back into habits and easier things of life. But the life inside of us is a constant disciplinary action by the Spirit of God living in us. Come on, brothers. You brothers have to turn your heads. Women dressed the way they are in this day. Well, is your eyes automatically go to them or go this way? You don't have to answer me. Whatever you think evil thoughts, do you have to strain to think evil thoughts? If somebody says something bad against you, do you have to think and really strain to say, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, you don't. Because you're packing that older brother around with you. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice he says, now let me lay this foundation. I know it's a big one, but we're going to build a big house. The spirit of that one birth is still represented in the world today. And it's coming to a head now. The spiritual believer and the carnal man, the carnal believer. No one could say that both religious. Both of them as religious. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, they were both religious. Now he said they were. They didn't say one served an idol and the other and serve God. They were both servants of God. The elder brother was a servant to his father. I'll prove that to you by his own words. But there's a difference in being a servant and being a son. He did not have the concept of sonship. Yet he's religious, he's methodical, he's disciplined himself to doing this and this, and I've never broke one of your words. I'll tell you one thing, that he's got a little bit of self-righteousness mixed right into it too. Man alive, you talking about a message church member, we'd make him a deacon. Oh my. Listen to the way Brother Ram goes on with this. He said they were both servants of God. The world today is being gripped by those two great forces. Two great religious forces that is soon coming to a head or a showdown. It will well represented in the scripture reading tonight of the two sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. They came to the world fussing and fighting. At war with each other. They've been at war with each other ever since. And they will be till the end time. And you was pretty happy with yourself until your stinking younger brother got saved. You ain't had nothing but problems since he got born again. Some of you made a good Baptist church member, a good Pentecostal. You get to shout a little bit every now and then or go to the church and do whatever more. You was living a pretty peaceable sort of a life. Man alive, nothing really got great required of you. And all of a sudden you come to yourself. And when you come to yourself, not by your own choosing or not even by your own desire or will, by the sovereign election of God, which is what I'm talking about tonight. The sovereignty of our God. Can't you see why I had to sovereignly do it this way? He knew how man was. What if he'd leave it up to you? You'd be just like Adam was in the beginning, and so would I, and so would you, and so would you. If you was out in the Garden of Eden, the story would be the same. If I was in the Garden of Eden, the story would be the same. So what did he have to do? He had to bring another Adam down and put him in another garden in order to change the story. Hallelujah. My, we find out that Esau truly represented the carnal believer. He was an earthly man, was of the earth, and was very religious inclined. He had his religion just like the world has today. Most all people you talk to, they've got a religion of some sort, whether they attend their church or not. Praise the Lord. How many folks, you go to Cracker Barrel and you check out and pay your ticket, and that older woman standing there with her hair done up on her head and got her glasses on and her britches on and a little bit of makeup, have a blessed day. Yeah. Yeah. You go through Burger King at the drive-thru. Have a blessed day. Which I always answer them back. This is the day that the Lord has made, something like that. And boy, when you do, I mean, they light up just like that. That religious something. Now, if I'd say, woman, you got your hair bobbed off, you're going to hell. Get them man's clothes off. They'd throw me out of Cracker Barrel. I'd probably be banned. I wouldn't want that. Carol loves eating there. But you know what? As long as you just comply and just say, well, God bless you too. And just, you have a nice day. Just don't cross them, because that religious spirit will get right back at you. You know what? That ain't just on Cracker Barrel. Some folks come to this church that's got that on too. Oh man, as long as I don't cross them, I'm the greatest pastor that ever lived. I mean, I just about have God hang the moon until I cross them, and then I'm a big devil. I'm out. Notice now. Well, that's the truth anyhow. You know all these things that came, that very type of the carnal-minded man today, who's religious outwardly, and he wants to do something outwardly. Outwardly. Whew. Now let's look at this brother, shall we? Now, I have here in my hand a mirror. Now, what I'm going to do, this is a two-sided mirror. Your sisters have some of them, no doubt, in your bathroom. One of them is the regular size magnification. The other one is really magnified, you know, 4 or 5 times. So what I'll do tonight is I'll carry the magnified side toward me. All right? I can take it. Now that magnified thing, what it does, if you've got a bump on your face, it looks like Mount Everest. If you've got a scar, you got some bad, Lord have mercy, that thing will scare you to death when you look at it. Come on now. Now there's been occasion, I know, when by mistake I flipped that thing over and throw that magnification on y'all side, and some of y'all just sat there and jerked and quivered. Why? Because you really saw yourself the way you were, magnified under this revealed word. And I don't mind telling you, sometimes we look kind of scary. Come on. Oh, but I don't know about you. I want to see myself in the mirror of that word so I can correct the things about me, and then let me see the young boy who he is too. Oh, my. Now what's this Jesus says about this young man in verse 28? And he was angry. Now is anger sin? No. Anger is a natural human emotion when it's controlled. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. But there is a place where you can get so angry that you sin. Now that's what this boy is fixing to do. He is angry, and his anger is going to lead him to sin. Well, praise the Lord. Now he's angry with his father. He's angry with his brother. Now he's angry with his father because his father has accepted back this boy. And this boy's calling himself Seed Gene and Soul of God and all that sort of thing. He's going around saying, I never done it in the first place. And the truth of it is, this younger brother is getting all the attention right now. And the older brother can't handle it. The older brother must be magnified for his works, and he must be bragged on, and he must be told what a great choice he made, how he made up his mind down at the altar, glory to God. He had to come up here and get a hold to God. He got a hold of this, and he made up his mind 40 years ago. Since then, he ain't took an aspirin. I'll tell you one thing, he ain't looked at a television. He ain't done this and that and the other. He ain't done nothing, and he's a liar. There ain't a person in this building, and one that's ever really been a Christian, that ain't lied, ain't stole, ain't robbed from God and nearly everybody else too. Has this younger brother been faithful? No. Is he worthy of such a reception? No. Then why is he getting it? grace. Now, he's very angry as well because Christ, the fatted calf, has been killed, Lord Jesus, for this seed son. And when he comes in and he hears the music and sees the dancing and he sees them partaking of the atonement, they are eating divine food. And this boy, who had been lost and done all kinds of evil things, who convinced him he's worthy to even take a bite of that divine food? His father. His father. His father. But now his brother is religious. This ain't right. You need to get out there in the field and work. You're going to get saved sitting in the back of the church. Then work your way up. A pew a year. If you're faithful and don't mess up, then we might allow you to move up halfway. But if you do one thing, if you mess up one time, if you cut your hair, you women, you men, if you do this, you're out. Glory to God, I ain't never cut my hair. Hallelujah. I ain't never done nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Maybe other than being born. This is so displeasing to him. Amen. Oh, this grace and mercy, predestination and election. And of course, this boy just swallows it all up. He loves it. He just loves all them quotes. He just smiling from ear to ear, just loves it. And they're shouting and having a big spell. Oh, good night. This makes me sick to my stomach. What happened to free moral agency? Ask Adam. Bless God, when I got it, I went down to that altar. I prayed for 47 nights. What took you so long? You wouldn't have had to pray 47 minutes if you'd give up. Well, they beat me on the back. They spit in my face. They slobbered in my ears. I'm sorry you went to that kind of a church. I mean, it sounded like you took a beating. I tell you one thing. I've done this and I've done that. Go ahead and keep talking, elder brother. Do you understand that your elder brother's perspective that will not let some of you that's got the Holy Ghost admit you've got it? Because he's still looking for some kind of emotion or shaking or jerking so that the elder brother can identify, oh, I shook, I quivered, I know I got it now. He's a religious legalist. So he's boycotting this meeting. Marching up and down with his little signs. I don't believe in Pentecost. Grace predestinated female agency for a foreordained of God. When are they going to get sick of it? Never. But watch grace now. Now remember, there's two prodigals in this story. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, came his father out. So he was the father of his body. I mean, his father too. He was the creator of the body. Like he was the creator of the younger son, which was the seed. So instead of telling the older son, you're going to hell. You rebel against me. You question my word. I sent you word into the field to come and rejoice, and you refused. Your stubbornness I'll have you killed.
Think about it.
But the seed needs a body to live in. Actually, it's going to be this younger brother's conversion that's going to lead this older brother to a change. Now watch, his father don't come out with wrath. He don't come out with vengeance or judgment. But he comes out, listen to the way Jesus tells us now. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out. Not rebuked him. Exonerated him. But listen to his words. Entreated. In other words, he could have said it like this. Your younger brother has received the first stage of adoption. Worship like him, and you get the last stage. Don't you understand what we're doing when we worship God? We're submitting this. My soul needs hands. My soul needs lips. Yours does. My soul needs ears to hear, right? My soul needs feet and legs in order to dance a little jig every now and then. So you know what? My body is still not converted yet, not saved. But my soul needs a way, an avenue to show its expression of joy. So it borrows this body or submits this body. So Jesus, and likewise now in the natural parallel to this, Jesus not only ate with sinners, but Jesus ate with the elder brother. Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. So you see, Jesus not only blesses our soul, but Jesus will bless our body. So our body gets sick and he'll heal this old Pharisee. You see, if we are out of fellowship with one another, I don't care how close you say you are to God. If you're out of fellowship with somebody and you've got an ought against your brother, your sister, you're not where you need to be with God. Amen. But Brother Donnie, I shout, I jump, I run around. You're religious. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch him now. Now we're going to give him the microphone. Let him do a little talking. All right, older brother. Now here, you give us your little testimony, okay? And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years. Oh, he had to say that, didn't he? What's the elder brother? It's always magnification of what he does. I pay so much in tithes and I do this and I help the widow buy groceries and I do this and I do that. And all these many years, I'll tell you one thing, I'm just about the best boy God's got. All these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgress I at any time. Whoa. Now, isn't it amazing why people who don't understand this would think, why would Jesus bring the character of this man into view after the rejoicing of the conversion of the prodigal son? This is not a mistake. It's placed here intentionally. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, he cannot go in because of jealousy. He will not even identify this boy as his brother. But yet, he's never broke one word. Gabriel, move back. Here I come. Wormwood, get over.
I'm just about the next thing to God, I reckon. I ain't never broke one word. I ain't never been mad. I ain't never lost my temper. I ain't never said, "You bald-faced liar." If it wasn't for the grace of God, every one of us, including your preacher, would be in hell.
Yes, sir.
Not for what we done before we got saved, after we got saved.
Amen.
You see, he set a value and a merit on all these works. Says nothing about his Father's love, nothing about his Father's grace, nothing about his Father's mercy. It's what he's done. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. Now watch his self-importance. Now I know there's some low-down people that stream these services. So all you little saints here at Happy Valley, you bear with me tonight. Why I scowl these people. Now I know this ain't for none of you. Y'all on the internet, bear with me while I scowl these people. Look at his self-value and his self-importance. Brother Donnie, What are you doing placing this kind of a sermon following election and predestination and foreknowledge? And to me, it's absolutely perfect. Why? It's the two brothers. It's the older and the younger. The younger loves God. He's born of God. And the older struggles. He answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee. Never transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Now watch his self-evaluation. He's excellent of character. He's excellent of temper. He's excellent in obedience. But apparently he can't add. When his daddy divided the inheritance, he got 2/3. There's two boys, so you divide it. The older gets a double portion, so you divide it in threes. So he got 2/3. What's the matter, flesh? Don't you remember all the blessings of God? You understand what wants to get you so down when you're going through valleys? It ain't never your younger brother. It's the old one. It's the old brother that wants to feel sorry for himself. And this ain't right. I've went to church. I've done this and that and the other for God. And why is God letting me go through? You know who's doing that talking? The older brother of yours. It ain't right. I've been the bride. I've been persecuted for the word. It ain't right. God ought to do this and that and the other. And you think by you letting your hair grow out that marriage healing? You think by you wearing certain length of dresses that marriage healing and faith and confidence in God? Who's talking? The older brother. So you think I've done this and I've done that and I've done that. God ought to keep sickness away from me. The older brother makes no confession whatsoever of any weakness. The younger brother comes with complete openness and admitting he's wrong. And his confession is so overwhelming, his father stops him right in the middle of it and don't even have to complete it. his heart and his spirit was so repentant that the Father just stops him right in the middle and said, that's enough. I'll read the rest of the book. Hallelujah! But the older brother, he goes on about himself and on about himself. Not one admission of any faults. Oh my goodness. You see, a person who is constantly thinking and dwelling upon their own excellencies and their own fine characteristics and traits, they really don't need that much grace. This guy's eyes, he didn't really need that much saving. My goodness. He wouldn't like some of you. I mean, some of y'all was rank sinners. A guy like his, I've drunk a few beers. I'm a good old boy. But there ain't no place in heaven for good old boys. He's touchy, sensitive, irritable. Should I go ahead and use your names in here or just... Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm supposed to turn that mirror around. I'm sorry. You see, self-importance is so repulsive to real children of God. That's why those of us as Christians, when we get around somebody that's all the time blowing their own horn, to a real Christian, it's sickening. Well, I was just sure the Lord give me this. I mean, I might have been... You see, this man is so different from the seed gene. Now, the seed was born in sin and had a bogus marriage. And a bogus marriage certificate to prove it. But when he came back, he was so lovable. When he come to his father, he had already been so changed by this supernatural invisible force. He was so lovable that he overwhelmed his father. Now look at this boy here. I mean, he's kept all of God's commandments. I'm just saying according to what he said now. Kept all of God's commandments. He's served. He's labored. He's done all this and that and the other. But he's not a lovable individual. Well, glory. Brother Ben said, you ever get around people and said you just didn't like being around them because of the atmosphere they create? There's people who love God, going to heaven, all that sort of thing, but they create such an atmosphere. He said, you know, the things you feed upon, the things you read, and this and that and other creates an atmosphere. Some people feed upon stories and, you know, that sort of thing, and that's what they talk about. That's what they eat. Other people feed upon themselves. They think so much about themselves. They're totally unaware of how much they talk about themselves. But they won't hear it from nobody else. You realize how much you talk about yourself? Oh, you're just picking on me. Leave me alone. You're picking on me. I ain't never done nothing wrong. All these years I've served you. And what does that do? That makes that individual repulsive. Not lovable. But here's a guy who's wasted money. A guy who rebelled against his father when he went to his father and said, I want the portion of my goods. Do you understand what he's saying? I wish you were dead. But when he comes back, and when he's born by the breath of the invisible image of his father, he is so lovable. All them bad nights. Father, what about all them sleepless nights he brought on you? What about all the days that you sat here and worried and fretted and walked the floor and wondered where in the world is he? What made him different? He was lovable. Now come on, children, you might as well admit to it. There's parts about our flesh that ain't lovable. To God, to nobody else except us. it wasn't for the grace of God, some of you men wouldn't even have a wife. If it wasn't for the grace of God, some of you women wouldn't even have a husband. Because there's parts about us that just downright stinks. Well, glory. Yep, this fits just exactly right. Following the birth of the sun. Even in his wanderings and his sin and his wrong. But yet when he comes back, his attitude is so lovable. It's just like the Father is just magnetized to this boy. Here comes the other man. He's got a hoe here. He's got a shovel here. He's got a mattock here. He's got a grubbing hoe. He's from Kentucky, so he's got a grubbing hoe on that side. He's got a grubbing hoe over here, and he's got a shovel, and he's got a TNT on the back. He's been blasting rocks. I'm telling you what, he looks like a walking, I don't know what, sweat running down his face. Got big sweat streaks under his arms. I was like, man, that's a working in daddy's fields. Daddy can depend on me. I know how to blow up things. I know how to mess up things. I know how to work. I know how to plow. They're shouting in church. What? But oh, I know some of them people in there. Some of them used to smoke. Some of them used to drink. But they don't stink near as bad as your attitude does right now. So here he stands. I'm boycotting this meeting. And his father says, you got something you want to say?
I'll tell you one thing. I remember that night I read that book. Hallelujah. I sat there and I made up my mind.
I went to seeking God. I thought I'm going to be a better man. I sought God and I sought God and I... You're a liar. God's prophet said no man seeks God. But God seeks man.
I see right now some of you folks wish I'd left this elder brother in this parable. Y'all didn't realize he rode to church with you, did you? Oh, my. Notice how Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, to exercise self-control, to put a moderate estimate upon oneself, and think of oneself soberly, to curb one's passions. There's more scripture against you speaking of yourself and thinking of yourself higher than you should than there is makeup. But we don't deem it near as wrong. Why? The older brother don't want us to. The older brother demands recognition.
I'll tell you one thing, glory to God.
Shut up, would you? Glory to God. I'm sick of you, older brother. You sit down, older brother. I'm preaching here tonight, not you. My, now you imagine Paul saying then that a man should not think of himself. I wish every message preacher could grab a hold of this. I wish every singer, every deacon, every Christian would grab a hold of this. And not think of yourself as being as important in your eyes so much, but putting the right evaluation on yourself.
Oh my, I didn't think y'all could get no quieter.
Oh my, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, to exercise self-control.
Amen. How do you ever devalue a person who thinks they are worth $1 million spiritually? when in truth, they ain't hardly worth a quarter. Preachers do that. Singers do it. Deacons do it. Trustees do it. Musicians do it. Babies will do it when they grow up. We got more people just like us in the nursery. They're in the making. These little fellows here, they're in the making. Why? They're humans. A real Christian, if their value is this, a real Christian always that's consecrated to God places himself down here. They never overestimate themselves. And even if the older brother gets a little bit fleshly, they'll control it and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You see, when Brother Branham was preaching one time and he's talking about somebody that thought this so smart on the word, he said, I could have took that word and tied him in. Oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't have said it that way. What was it? The older brother, William Branham. Come on now, don't get quiet on me, church. Why? There was something about that that grieved the Holy Ghost. Why? Brother Branham was over evaluating himself. Appraising the older brother in a place that only the younger brother can stand. I'll tell you one thing, if I was the pastor of Happy Valley, man alive, you would what? Boy, I'll tell you one thing, if they had ever asked me how to run the church, you know why you say that? Because you have such a value of yourself. But apparently the problem is, God don't have the same value. Praise the Lord. So the older brother, he can't think this way. The younger brother, I'm not worthy. And he's not just saying that. Because some folks, I'm not worthy. They don't mean that a bit more than nothing. Brother Donnie, I ain't worth you taking time to pray for me. They don't believe that. Because if I didn't, they'll get mad at me. Which proves to me they don't believe what they're saying. Well, glory to God. I'll be looking for a job on Monday, sure as a world. Why do we do that, friends? It's that older brother of ours that so estimates himself in his religious, Pharisaic attitude will say, I'm unworthy. I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy. But God, if you don't do it, I'm going to have a problem with you. I'm not worthy. If we really believe that about ourselves, we'd come to church whether we feel it or whether we don't. We'd come to church if we come 57 services and didn't get nothing. We'll be back church service number 58. If we have to struggle to pray, struggle to read our Bible. But why do folks quit coming sometimes and they get mad at God? It's the self-estimation they have of their self. And the value they place on their self. God owes them something. This is what God owes me. Zero. And I'm going to tell you, that's what he owes you. Nothing. Notice in Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness, look at this word. Humbleness of mind. The having a humble opinion of oneself. Do you understand nearly how impossible this is to do? This is now on to impossible for the older brother to ever do it. He might do it in front of me or you to impress us, but from his heart. It's not in him. It's not in him. But it's in the younger one. My, the having a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's moral littleness, modesty, Humility. This is what the prodigal son had, Carol, when he come home. It was oozing out of him. It was flowing from his being like the invisible current of electricity that's flowing through these wires into these sockets to the filaments on this bulb. It was written so much through him. That's why he didn't have to say that much. It was not necessary that he preach a 30-hour sermon or a 30-hour confession. This was oozing out of his being. The way he projected this humbleness of mine. I'm not worthy, Father. Please make me one of your heart servants. You don't have to even call me son if you don't want to. I'm so sick. Bring the best robe. Somebody bring a ring. Somebody bring the shoes. Where did he get that, Brother Jack? Where did that come from? This is what was pulsating from the seed. This, friends, the seed gene in all of us can do this with no problem. But some of our older brothers and sisters, let's stand. Those of you that can't get up, we'll have the deacons to help you. Oh, my. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Speaking of our Lord and Master, the one giving the parable. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, this is the same Greek root word that Paul used in lowliness of mind in Philippians that we just read. Bring low, to make low. To bring into a humble condition. Reduce to meaner circumstances. To assign a lower rank or place to. To be ranked below others who are honored or rewarded. To lower, depress one's soul. Bring down one's pride. To have a modest opinion of oneself. To behave in an unassuming manner, devoid of all haughtiness. Amen. That's true. Yes. Now here was God. But if you and I would have lived 2,000 years ago and walked beside Jesus on the street, we could have bumped right into him at the market. Just hit him, rub shoulders with him. He would have looked like any other human being. If it had been hot and sweaty and maybe perspiring, his body putting out an odor, his feet dirty, his stomach hungry. Praise the Lord. Weary and tired like any other human being. Unassuming. You'd have never thought he was a God. Much less the Almighty God. Why? He humbled himself. Look, friends, it's not in us to do that. When we humble ourselves, we always have a motive. Oh, my goodness. Can't you see why the younger brother shames the older one? It makes him angry. It shames him. Why? He cannot go beneath him. As a pastor, I've had to do it so many times. I've took the blame for things that I was not a bit more to blame for than God was. But in order to make peace and try to resolve, because I knew the people I was dealing with, hope you don't misunderstand me, but I'm going to say it anyway. I knew the people I was dealing with could not go as low as I could. Not low in sin, but in humility. It takes a big person in God when you know you're right, but yet you'll humble yourself in order to fix the situation. Because so many of us want to defend ourselves. Bless God, I never done that. I never said this. And I'm going to let the world know it. Go ahead, older brother. A lot of y'all's Facebook accounts should be putting the name of your older brother. Because the younger brother just oozes in goodness. You see, the scripture said the trees of the Lord are full of sap. That don't mean you're a sap head. That means you're oozing out the goodness of God. His soul was so emanating this attitude of repentance. And truly, I'm not worthy. I don't even deserve it. He wasn't just saying, it wasn't words to make him sound humble. The older brother could say those same words. But with this guy, it was genuine.
Amen.
It was so real. Can you imagine the older brother standing outside looking through the cracks in the windows? I can't stand him. That makes me so mad. Look at me, look at me. I've just come from the field. I've labored, I've sweated, I've done this and that. And they're in there shouting. And that knot-headed preacher telling them they never done it in the first place. And they're without sin. And they just all swallow it down. Hallelujah. Can I be honest with you? There's a part of me that struggles with election. There's a part of me that struggles with Him knowing me before the foundation of the world and loving me without conditions. And there's another part of me that can't keep from shouting. Listen, that older brother. Does he love God? Yes. My older brother went to church before my younger brother got saved. Y'all might as well admit it, so did yours. Some of your older brother used to shout and speak in tongues in Pentecost. And that little seed of yours wasn't even born again yet. And then all of a sudden you get born by the breath of God. Something just come by and... You see, Peter's older brother stood there and said, glory to God. Lord, I don't care what John does. I don't care what James does. I'll never deny you. Jesus said, your older brother will deny me before the chicken crows in the morning. I'll tell you one thing, Lord, I'll not do it. Peter meant that with all of his heart. That's how religious he is, you say. Jesus told the prodigal Peter, he said, when you get converted, strengthen your brothers. Praise God. Don't you love him, children? Oh, would you discard this brother? Oh, no. No, 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 no. The Father goes to this older brother with love, compassion, and understanding. I told Carol on the way to church tonight, we'll look at it more in the morning, but there was two stages of the Roman adoption, which is what Paul writes about in Romans. Two stages of the Roman adoption. When a Roman citizen would adopt a boy or a girl, or an adult, sometimes they would adopt an adult into their family. The first stage was the private stage. So they would take them into their house, move them in their home. Hardly nobody knew about it. Just their intimate friends, close relations. Then it might go a month or two or six or maybe a year or two. And then that senator or whatever he was would go to the public forum in the city of Rome. And there he would have a public ceremony. And this boy or girl would walk out with her clothes changed. This was the second stage of adoption. When their name became as good on the check as the senator's was. Praise God.
Don't you understand why you're groaning? Don't you understand why you're groaning? You've done met him in the privacy. You've done met him in behind the veil in the Shekinah. But we're waiting for the clothes to be changed. The redemption of our body. Praise God. We've already got the spirit of adoption. If you got the Holy Ghost, it's right here tonight. But you're waiting for the physical manifestation. Why? When you will finish this parable. Tell me, Jerry, what you going to do with this old brother of yours? What you going to do with him, Brother Gene? You going to lead this old brother of yours, Brother Jim, to a body change? He ain't going to hell. This soul needs a place to occupy. So the Father deals with him. The Father heals him when he gets sick. The Father will move depression off of him when he gets weary. My soul ain't been depressed since I got the Holy Ghost. My soul ain't never cried one tear. My soul ain't never been sad. My soul ain't never had a bad day. My body's had a bunch of bad ones. So what's God doing? His love and mercy. He'll come out of the house. Come on now, Donna. Come on. You can make it. Come on. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Come on. You know it's the truth. Why? He's going to help you lead your body to a change. Praise God. And then I'm going to hand the older brother the microphone. So would you like to testify? I sure want to thank my younger brother for leading me in the rapture. Because if it hadn't been for my younger brother, I don't know where I'd be. Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us tonight, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, if we have over-evaluated ourselves. So many of us have put such an appraisal on this older brother and his worth and his value. His years of serving God. His years of doing this and that and the other. It's amazing then when we come to really letting the apocalypsis of the seed gene come into manifestation and take the cover off of him. It's amazing how many folks get angry. But yet some of them same folks, boy, they'd just be so glad to brag on their flesh and their works that they've done. But to point to the sovereignty of God choosing us when we didn't even want it. To you exercising your will and proving that our destiny testifies of our origination. The reason the bride will go back to you is because she came from you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, help us. May our older brother just, if he can't rejoice yet, let him just go over and sit down and hold his peace a little bit. Let the younger brother rejoice in election. Let him rejoice in predestination, calling, foreordained, foreknowledge. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your truth. I'm so grateful, Lord, that when you brought this young man back home in your story, you didn't end it there. But really it began another chapter, the struggle. Thank you for going on with this story. And you let it end in a most peculiar way. Oh, I'm so grateful you did. So grateful you did. Little did we know 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago. Little did we know that you would so enhance this story to us tonight. Help us to see ourselves more clearly and one another. Forgive us for the vanity of our flesh, the vanity of our minds, our pride. Forgive us, Lord. Nothing is hardly as easy for humans to express. Lord, people can be as poor as they can be and so full of pride.
People think only rich people have pride, and people that don't have to borrow and this and that. Oh, no. Poor people can be as bad or worse. Their pride won't allow them to receive help from somebody who wants to help them. And then if you do help them, they won't thank you. So pride comes in so many ways. Help us, Lord. Help us to bring this young man into the festival. Let him rejoice. Let him feed on the fatted calf. The older brother ain't hardly ready for it yet. It's a little bit rich for him. But praise God, this young man will lead himself into such a place through the words of the Father and the obedience of this younger son. I will end the story of the parable of the prodigal sons. My story will say something like this. And Donnie, the seed gene, born of the breath of God, was finally able to bring Donnie, born of Don and Betty Reagan, in complete submission to the Word of God. And on that morning, when the rapture swept over the earth, glory to God, Donnie was able to lead Donnie into a change. And Donnie is still thinking Donnie to this day. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus, may that story be told by others standing here tonight just with a different name, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Lord. How many with all your hearts you want that to be the end of your story? You want the arrogance and the self-importance and the over-evaluation of your older brother to be brought into check. Oh, I know some of us deal with it maybe more than others. It's strange. It runs in families. Some people struggle with it. I mean, it's a major, major thing for them. But friends, it can be overcome if you see the need to do it. That's a lot of it right there, seeing the need. Your eyes as preachers, they so evaluate themselves as being so high. Some preachers, you can't even get them up to pray over prayer requests. They've got to preach a sermon. You can't get a singer up to sing a song. They've got to go into all this big rigmarole to let you know how spiritual they are. That's not what we're asking. You can't get, sometimes you have a hard time finding a song leader that get up and lead singing. He wants to preach. He wants to testify. He wants to do all that. That's not what the prophet said a song leader is to do. He is to lead songs. You ever notice me when I get up and Brother Louie asks me to pray over prayer requests? That's exactly what I do. I don't tell you what I'm setting on Wednesday night, next Saturday night, next Sunday morning, and the next Sunday after that. That wasn't what I was asked to do. I was asked to pray over the prayer request. And that's what I'm going to do. What am I doing? I'm bringing myself in submission. I don't have to prove what I know to you by prayer. I don't have to prove my knowledge, my next subject matter. What is that, friends? The old man. Come on now. Some singers get mad if they're not called every now and then. What is it? It's that old brother of theirs that's wanting to sing, not the young one. They want to be acknowledged, and y'all don't clap for them enough. That's vanity. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. It ain't about you being acknowledged and me being acknowledged. It's about him being worshipped. Come on, don't get mad at me. This old man is prevalent in every one of us if we'll open our eyes. Oh my. Would you turn and lay your hand on that brother or sister standing by you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to just pray for him. Lord Jesus, as we have our hands laid one upon the other. Lord, I know this hadn't been a service that made us rejoice so much. Cuts us all, me included. And I'm glad it does. I'm glad, Lord, I'm glad that I ain't full of arrogance and pride and think I'm so uppity up. The word can't cut me. I'm in a miserable shape when I do. I'm so glad this sword cuts coming and going. It cuts me as much or more than it does them. And I'm grateful. Lord, we want to pray for one another tonight. We want to pray for each other, Lord, that we can bring this older brother in subjection to the new birth. Lord, that we can be a people, Lord God, that has a lowliness of mind, a humbleness of mind. We're not arrogant and proud and, oh my, bragging all the time on us and what we do and how important we are and what value we have. But let us be like the younger brother that comes, and may the goodness and the grace of God so come out of our being that we are so lovable that people want to be around us. Lord, and more importantly than that, that you want to be around us. Lord Jesus, I want my heart and my attitude, Lord, to be so right that you want to be around me. The great dove of the Holy Ghost wants to come near me, and me and him sit on the wires, as it were, and coo back and forth. You can't do that to somebody that's full of pride and has a great evaluation of themselves that's beyond reality. You can't hug up with arrogance and selfishness, self-centeredness and pride. You have to hug up to humility and lowliness of mind and humbleness. It's that younger brother you hug up to. Praise God. Lord Jesus, help us tonight, Father. Begin with me tonight, Lord. Search me. Look at my heart. Look at my soul, my mind. Search me, Lord. Search every preacher, every deacon, every trustee, every one of us, from the front to the back to the nurseries, those who've streamed the service tonight. Search each of us, Lord. Help us to realize we are in a war, and that war is between our brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great truth. I so thank you for it. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we raise our older brother's hands in the presence of the King and worship him tonight? Hallelujah. Your soul, your expression from the gene of God needs fingers and hands. It needs eyes. It needs ears. God placed your soul in your body. Praise God. Then you can discipline your body to where your body will begin to react and harmonize with your soul, to where your body won't resent the obedience. It's not born again, but your body will obey. Why? The Father knows how to talk to the body. Glory to God. Glory to God. You imagine the brother looking outside the door and seeing his older brother out there and snarling. That attitude that he had about him, he must have felt such compassion for him. He must have felt so sorry for him. Oh, may God help us to do that tonight. May God, Brother John, help us that we can look at ourselves and realize this younger brother, this seed gene that has been born by the breath of God. It's so easy for him to live right. It's so easy for him to live the word. And may he look at this flesh, and may he look with compassion and understand, poor flesh man. Poor older brother, you still struggle, don't you? You still fail, don't you? You still make mistakes, don't you? I understand why, older brother. I'm not against you. I'm for you. Let me help you. Let me lead you into the body change. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I worship you tonight, Lord. I'm grateful I've got a flesh body. I'm grateful I'm not a disembodied spirit. I'm grateful this body of mine has caused me so much trouble. But yet, on the other hand, how would I preach? How would I read? How would I sit down and hold a computer in the lap of a theophany? How would I study and read quotes and scriptures? How would I do it? But my body sits there hour after hour studying thousands of quotes this week.
And my hands get aching and tired, and my back and my feet and my legs, and I have to get up and move around where it gets so stiff, sitting there, Lord, hour after hour. How could I do that without a body? And yet my body sits right there and hits page down or F3 or F6, and it keeps hitting it and hitting it and hitting it.
Hallelujah. One day my body will be rewarded for hitting F3 and F6 and F2. Glory. It'll hit R7 wide open out of this world one day. Glory be to God. Lord, we worship you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands, saints? Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on in, older brother. Don't pout on us now. Come on in, older brother. Let's worship. Let's worship together. Give me some hands, older brother. Amen. Give me a few tears if you don't mind. Give me your mouth. Give me your lips, older brother. Give me your feet and your legs, older brother. I might want to worship the Lord here a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's harmonize in this merriment. Glory be to God. I've been redeemed and you're fixing too. So let's get together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Come on, children, let's worship Him now. Oh, let's worship Him. Glory be to God. I know we got in our church, we got a lot of folks that's graduating. And you know, our kids graduating school and college, and we're certainly proud of them, all the effort and all that they're put forth. But I'm telling you one thing, we're fixing to have a graduation ceremony. We're fixing to graduate from mortality to immortality. And we're not going to old Charlie's for supper, we're going to the King's house. We're going to sit down, hallelujah! Oh, glory! We're going to come through and we're going to pass the test of life. We're going to pass the trials and the test of life. We're going to graduate this life. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We love you tonight, Father. Oh, I bless your name, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I'm so glad that I found a place that my body and my soul can meet together and harmonize, Lord. Hallelujah. My body needs my soul. My soul needs my body for expression. I'm glad, Lord, that we can bring it to a place. May the people realize, the prophet said, many people find themselves struggling by living between those two desires. But there can be such a calm and peace if they can simply learn how to submit that body of theirs to the obedience of the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in your presence tonight, Holy Father. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's no one greater than Jesus, hey? Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. I'm not doing away with all the good teaching you had, all the good training you had going to your good old Baptist church or your good old Pentecostal church. All that's much better than you've been raised in an old honky-tonk or some of that sort of thing. But just don't let that hinder you. Don't let that old brother of yours become so proudful and so full of arrogance and all that sort of thing. Thank God for good teaching. Thank God for a church, even if it was only partial light, that you walked in, that you got some good teaching to help lead you to the right way. But after that predestinated seed's come to his birth, he will dominate if you'll let him. Praise be to God. And remember, it ain't going to be your older brother that's going to lead you in. It's going to be the younger one. Because the younger one can recognize there is no one greater than Jesus, not even your free moral agency.
not even your choice. The older brother may struggle with it, but the younger one said, I don't understand how it is, but all I know is when Jesus was here, I was in Him. I read it to see where Brother Branham said that you was a Christian before the foundation of the world. Before you was even on the world, He said you was a Christian because God chose you. God began this unconditional covenant. He said in Abraham, God chose Abraham before the foundation of the world. He said He chose his seed exactly the same way. And the younger brother can say, man, the older brother said, I don't know about that. I'll tell you one thing. I got to figure all that out. No, listen to the younger brother. He does it by revelation. Amen. There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Your will, the devil's will, Adam's will, whoever's will it is, there's no one greater than Jesus. Let's worship Him together a little bit before we go, can we? My, it's still early. It's just Saturday night, boy. Let's worship Him together, can we? Hallelujah.
I'm so bound up.
Yes, Lord.
My soul tied up.
Listen now.
No peace within.
No peace within. Tell us about a little brother.
Chains cannot hold me. Confused.
Oh, hallelujah.
So lonely. So shackled with sin.
Shackled with sin.
Who is that coming?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
From the other side of the sea. His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me back. I'll sing victory song. Cause there's no one greater than Jesus. Neighbors detested, no peace within. I was a talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. And at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment. My lifestyle so bad. There was Messiah.
no one greater than Jesus. How many knows it's a truth? There's no one greater than Jesus. The Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Hallelujah. What a mighty God Jesus is. The word mighty in the Hebrew is Gibor. You see, the scripture says there was a mighty man. A mighty man. In the book of Ruth, his name was Boaz. And he was a Gibor man. A mighty man. The same one used in Isaiah, of his name shall be the mighty God. A mighty man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many knows that our Jesus is a mighty God? What a mighty God Jesus is. What a mighty God Jesus is. Let's worship Him now.
for he is
Jesus, we worship you, Father. Lord, while we're in your presence under your anointing, I pray this same Holy Ghost will come down right there in the hospital room where Brother Robert is. And Lord, I'm sure he's probably streaming the service right there. He's got his phone. He said he would be. May the Spirit of God, I pray, come down and touch our brother. You see what the doctors have said, Lord, he may be facing surgery. Well, if that be so, there ain't another surgeon I know of that's any more accurate and any better than Dr. Jesus. Lord God, may you come right into our brother. Hallelujah. Come right into his room. Touch him, Lord. Make him well. Raise him up, Lord. Granted, I pray, Father, others that have needs here tonight, minister to us, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We want to minister back to you and say how much we love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to spend eternity with you. We long to see you and touch you. I want to see your face. I want to touch your hands. I want to fall down at your feet, Lord, and kiss your precious feet. Raise my unworthy head. As I lift it up and look into your eyes. Hallelujah. Feel you reach over and tap me on the shoulder and bid me to stand up. Glory to God. Oh Lord Jesus, I long for the hour when I'll be able to see you, Lord. I've heard you. I've felt you since I was a little boy. But Lord, I want to see you. I want to touch you. I want you to touch me.
I want to feel your hand as it comes up against my face and dries the last tears I'll ever shed. Glory to God. I want to hear you say those words. Enter into the joys of the Lord. For it was well done. Lord, I may not have many trophies to lay at your feet because I'm a little guy. My work is small. But if I can help some along the way, if I can make a difference in people's lives. Lord Jesus, if there ain't but five standing behind me. Lord, if there be a few more behind that, say, well, he wasn't my pastor, but I listened to him occasionally and I was really helped. Lord, my whole life would be worth the living. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. To me, hearing of streets of gold and walls of jasper and all those beautiful stones, I love reading that and hearing about it, but that's not what makes heaven heaven to me. If heaven was the hills of Tennessee and the creeks and Watauga River and all that sort of thing, and there's no gold at all, if you were there, I could be so happy just being around you. If you was in Elizabeth and Lord, hallelujah, that would be heaven to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. We bless your name, Lord God. Go with us now. Pray, Father, bring us back again in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight, dear God. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Let's sing together Amazing Grace as we get ready to go. How many knows that it's God's grace that saved you? God's grace that opened your eyes. And it will be rapturing grace that will take you out of this world. Praise the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now listen. Was lost like the prodigal was, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Let's raise our hands now and sing, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's all.